Welcome to a special episode of the Back in Time podcast. This week, we are going back into the archives to pull out one of our favorite episodes. For all those new listeners out there that never had a chance to listen, here's your chance. We're going to do this from time to time. Right now, it's basically because me, Kyle, went on a little vacation, fell behind at work, need to get back on my feet. So before we can put out some new episodes, we need to get some stuff recorded and get it in the bank. Get it edited so you guys can get some great quality. So this week, we're going to go into our archives for a classic episode, Super Mario Brothers. This was a really fun episode. If you go back and you listen to our teaser trailer, I was really down on this movie. I didn't want to see it. I thought it was a piece of crap. But JD was really excited. And he thought that he could actually turn me and make me a fan of the movie. And you'll have to listen to see what happens, but he can be pretty persuasive when he wants to be. So it's a really fun episode. The audio quality, not going to be as good as what you're listening to today. We were still very new to the podcast. This was like 20 episodes in. We now have recorded upwards of 200. We've updated upgraded our microphones, our sound quality. So the audio may sound like it's coming from a tunnel. Hopefully it's not too bad. And hopefully you guys enjoy this classic retro episode of the Back in Time podcast. And here you go. Here is Super Mario Brothers. We are back from the bathroom break. All right, so let's jump into the review here for Super Mario Brothers. So the movie begins with an animated shot of dinosaurs. The narration voice comes on and says the dinosaurs once ruled the Earth until they were wiped away by a meteorite. But if that meteorite didn't kill them, what if it created an alternate universe? What if they found a way back? Brooklyn, 20 years ago. A lady's running through the pouring rain. She puts a little crystal into a canister-looking thing. I don't even know what to call it. And she knocks on the door and runs away. A nun answers the door and picks up the package left on the doorstep. And then we see the lady running through the street. She goes down into the sewer. The nuns back inside the home open up the canister to reveal an egg. Down in the sewer, the lady backs right into Koopa, who grabs her. And we have our first shot of Koopa here. It's a brief one. But what's your first impression of the what Koopa looks like and kind of how Dennis Hopper looks here?
The first shot of Koopa, it's like very noir, like coming from the shadows, from the darkness. You know, he's very silhouetted and he comes out and he just is menacing as all get up. Yeah. I liked it. It sets the tone for the whole movie right here, right from the beginning. I'm not going to lie. I'm not like totally sold on that opening monologue with Bob Hoskins talking about dinosaurs and the little skunk running around. I could have done without that.
Right.
Personally, but I think once we get into dropping off the baby and getting into like some of the darker elements, very excited.
The nuns see the egg hatch to reveal a baby inside. I'm not sure what to say here. Why was the baby born in an egg? And did the lady hatch the egg herself?
See, but that's what's so cool, though, because it creates a new comparison. Because what Bob Hoskins explained in the beginning is that, you know, the dinosaurs evolved the same path that humans did.
Yeah.
So if they evolved from dinosaurs, they would hatch from eggs, whereas sure. Mammals are, you know, excreted from the vagina. Science.
We see our first shots of Bob Hoskins in the role of Mario. Or as they call him in the movie, Mario. Is it Mario or Mario? Or does it not matter?
It doesn't matter. It's okay. An ethnic thing. Mario, Mario, spaghetti, spaghetti, penis, potato. It's all the same.
Okay. So Mario and Luigi, played by John Leguizamo. What's your first thought of John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins here in the roles of Mario and Luigi?
Dude, it's totally sad, this little world that they're living in, with this little crappy apartment where he's watching this little unsolved mystery show and Bob Hoskins is answering the phones, and you're immediately rooting for them. They're the underdogs right off the bat, which I think is a great comparison to the video game, where you don't really know the story. You just know here's this Japanese video game with this Italian plumber that's marketed to America.
Yeah.
Underdog.
Next scene, we have Luigi and Mario driving down the road here. This work van is just awesome. I wish I could buy this van and just drive it down the road with the Mario Brothers plumbing on the side of it. How cool is that van?
Dude, I love the van. I wish that there was an action figure of that van.
Ooh, that'd be really cool. Somebody from the Pops company needs to get on that. I need Pops figures and the Pops van. That'd be cool. They pull up to the job site. Mario gets out. Scapelli, they beat us to another job. And Scapelli pulls up in a limo. He's a typical New York looking guy here. He's got slick back hair. We meet Daisy for the first time here. I know we talked a little bit about her in the first part of the episode. She's played by Samantha Mathis. Next, we have Fisher Stevens, who's playing Iggy. He's in the car with Spike, and they are in charge of following around Daisy and trying to capture her. Mario walks out of the store and yells, $3 for tap water! He's pouring the water on the engine to try and cool it down as they are broke down on the side of the road here. What's your thoughts here on Scapelli and Iggy and Spike?
Dude, I love Scarpelli. He's such a great, like you said, just a typical New Yorker. Of course, yeah. He's in the mafia. Of course, he's a threatening, and he's going to, like, stretch his muscles down on whomever opposes him. Then, you know, we have Iggy and Spike, who are two of my favorite characters in the movie.
They play the role of buffoon, and then later, really smart guys to a perfect T.
I love that they get to show their reach as actors, like Fisher Stevens going from, like, he's like Harrison Brewer, like having a conversation with Josh Lindstrom.
I don't think anybody gets that reference, but yeah, just imagine, you remember the movie Meet the Stupids? Kind of like the plot of that.
Two wheels, four wheels, eight wheels.
Luigi is on the payphone when Daisy walks up. He hangs up on the call that he was making, listening to their voicemail. They're about to get a job, but he just hangs up on it. And he offers up the phone to her. He goes over to Mario and says she's beautiful. Luigi tries to hit on her here, but he's just really super awkward. And Mario kind of chimes in and saves the day and offers her a ride. And they jump into the van and off they go here. What do you think of their direction of kind of making Luigi this nervous guy, doesn't know how to talk to girls, gotta have Big Brother save him?
See, to me, I've always watched the movie in this way, that Luigi is kind of the main character.
Okay.
I think Luigi's the focus, he's the love interest, and Mario, however, is sort of like the big brother.
Yeah.
And I think that's how people play the Super Mario game. Everybody wants to be Luigi.
But we're always Mario. We're always Mario. They pull up to the dig site. Daisy jumps out, thanks them for the ride. Luigi, again, kind of stumbles over every word he's trying to say. And he manages, with the help of Mario, to ask her out to eat. And she agrees, so they're going to meet up later that night. So we smash right to the nighttime. I assume they had to cut some stuff out here. So Mario's on his own date with Daniela. They're eating some Italian cuisine. I see some meatballs, spaghetti. Daisy explains that she never... Daisy explains to Daniela that she never takes the rock off that's dangling from her necklace, the same one we saw earlier at the nun's house. It's the only thing she has from her childhood, and it's her only tie-in to her parents. Luigi says, "You don't know your parents either? You see, Mario brought me up. He's my big brother, but he's also been my mother and my father." I love when he says, "my mother." Mario chimes in and goes, "Mother, who you calling mother?"
He's not very happy about that one.
And Luigi and Daisy stare into each other's eyes for a second, and Luigi musters up the courage to offer the walker home. Such a 1990s gesture by him. I think that's kind of lost these days, because they would just go, "Let's grab an Uber, get out of here." What do you think of this date night at the pasta shop?
I love the amount of Parmesan cheese that's going around. Can we comment on that?
Yeah, my wife's Italian. You're Italian too, aren't you?
I am. Very much am.
So, yeah, that just reminds me of every dinner with my wife's parents or her grandparents. It's always like, who needs the Parmesan? It's just caking it on there.
Just everybody ever, hands up, give it all.
So after dinner, Mario and his date take off in the van. Luigi and Daisy walk down the sidewalk. Iggy and Spike think Daisy is Mario's date, dressed in disguise to throw them off, so they follow them back to their house. And before they leave, they manage to hit a parked car. How funny is this back and forth between the two of them? There's, she's in disguise, obviously, to throw us off.
Dude, there's such the repertoire and like the back and forth that Iggy and Spike have is amazing. Like, yeah, seriously, between the two of them, and I know we mentioned Bob Hoskins acting earlier, but seriously, Fisher-Price Stevens just nails it.
Yeah, and shout out to...
Did you like that Fisher-Price Stevens? That was good, right?
Yeah, and shout out to Richard Edson as well, who plays the role of Spike. He's also a garage attendant in the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. If you remember that, he takes the car for a spin.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mind blown.
I knew I recognized him from somewhere, and I got on his page. I was like, oh my gosh, he is the guy that joyrides in the car. Holy shit. Oh, man. Mario drops off his date at her home. Iggy and Spike run up to her and put a bag over her head. She screams. Back at the dig site, Daisy explains they don't even have security, and that's what she was calling about earlier from the payphone. They go down into this, what would you describe this tunnel-looking thing? Is this like just a typical dig site? I don't even know how to describe it. It's just a giant, long tunnel.
See, I'm of two minds because I know so much about, you know, archaeology from Indiana Jones, from Jurassic Park, from David Schwimmer and Friends. But to me, this is sort of like a replacement to the green pipes in the Super Mario game.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good comparison. That's exactly what it is, I'm sure. She shows Luigi a skeleton bone in the ground. It's shaped like a dinosaur. They're about to kiss when a water leak sprays up. Luigi yells, Scapelli! He says he knows exactly what to do, and apparently that's to do nothing and to run all the way back home to get Mario. And Mario just stands up and goes, Scapelli! And he puts on his belt, and I know exactly what to do. And they're back at the leak a second later. And Mario's going to work on stopping the leak. So obviously there's some logistic stuff here on that had to be a really long run to get back to the apartment because they have no car. But it's seemingly they did it in seconds. What'd you think?
Yeah, there's a little movie magic in the works here. And it was, you know, like this is the part of the movie where I sort of crossed my arms. I was like, really? You got there so quickly? But thank goodness Mario is such an amazing plumber and he's doing nothing.
You know what they could have done in the script to make this just so much more believable is Mario takes a cab home and Luigi takes the van. It just, I don't know why they didn't do that.
Okay, also cell phones were actually around in 1993. They did exist.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect, they live in a small apartment though. They wouldn't have a cell phone, those two guys.
They're business owners.
He is a business owner, but if you remember from the payphone, he's calling the house to listen to the voicemail.
Yeah, but that's what you did back in the day.
Well, let's keep going on. So Iggy and Spike are talking. Spike says, wrong girl, that's 0 for 5. What percentage is that? And they try and cram their brain to figure out what the answer is. Mario gets the leak stopped. And then Spike and Iggy sneak up from behind and knock them out with a couple wrenches. And they grab Daisy. So in this next scene here, Mario and Luigi are giving chase. They can hear her yelling from a distance, but they can't get to her. Mario knows exactly where to go because he knows exactly where these pipes are coming from. We see Daisy's face coming out of a rock here on the side of a wall. And down below is about a 500-foot drop to a river running down below. And they're kind of standing on the ledge here. Eventually, she gets almost half her body out trying to grab Luigi. And all he can grab is the rock off her neck. Mario says, that was solid rock! And Luigi tries to jump through it, but Mario grabs him at first, and eventually Luigi does jump through, and then Mario does the same thing, and they fall into an alternate universe. Mario says, I disintegrated! We're still here! And they start chasing after Daisy again here. What do you think of this scene? This was another head-scratcher to me, where I wasn't sure what they're trying to accomplish here.
Oh, see, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum because this scene to me is like a complete parallel to when Luigi's watching that Unsolved Mystery show. Shout out to anyone who remembers it. Do you remember the name of the show he's watching?
I don't.
And he's got the, remember that thing? It was so popular in the 90s, the pins. And you put the pins on your hand and it would like create like.
Oh, yeah. I love that thing. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And that's exactly what she does in the rock. She's coming through the rocks and it's the same as when Luigi puts a little pin thing on his face.
Wow, nice catch.
Right? Boom.
It just, the only part that was confusing to me is just the actual, like, rock wall. I feel like if you're going to follow the game, that there should have been like something that would like warp them where they didn't have to like jump through a wall. I don't know.
Well, okay, yeah, I agree with you. That would have been cheaper CGI-wise, but the other comparison that I want to make is it's totally like Indiana Jones when he has to cross he has to move across that little, in the cavern, it's got that little, what's that called? Crevasse in front of him. And it's like they have to do the leap of faith. Yeah, so it's a leap of faith moment.
They are now in Dinohattan downtown, which is basically Manhattan with fungus and electric cars everywhere. Mario even makes the comment, it must have been a bad couple weeks in Manhattan. Things aren't looking so good. Daisy gets into a car and she's taken away. What is this place? Luigi says, maybe we fell asleep and woke up 100 years in the future. There's a shot of a movie theater on the marquee. It says Teenage Mammal. And this is obviously a shout out to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was actually filmed in the exact same building as this downtown area in the 1990 original movie. So I love that they gave that a shout out and recognized that. What do you think of that?
Hey, man, Teenage Mammal, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. As long as she's got the goods, bring it on.
So we got our first shot of King Koopa and Lina here next. What do you think of Lina?
Dude, Lina, swing!
Iggy and Spike enter. Lina says, hello, idiots. And they say hello right back. They explain they captured Daisy. She's being defungied right now. King Koopa wants the meteorite, and they say the plumbers have it. And he tells them he needs that to merge the two universes. Over the speaker, it says, King Koopa is looking for two plumbers. And we go to the next scene here. An old lady sticks up Mario and Luigi after she finds out that they don't have any protection on them. And Big Bertha comes to the rescue here as she beats up the old lady and then also steals the meteorite, the rock. And Mario wants it back, and she turns on her space shoes and just floats away. Couple things here. Let's talk about Big Bertha for a second. What do you think of Big Bertha?
Big Bertha. I, for the longest time when I was little, confused Big Bertha with Nell Carter. I was convinced that was Nell Carter in this movie.
What do you think of these space shoes here? I don't know that they ever give them an official name. I'm sure they do. I just don't remember catching it.
See, I struggle to, in the video game, there's the boot level in Super Mario 3.
Yeah.
But that's not the same boot.
Totally different.
What is the comparison to the video game of these shoes? Because there's no real super jump ability in the games other than the boot level.
Well, realistically, what could they possibly have done? I mean, they can't give them stars. They can't give them the feather. They can't put them in a frog suit or a bear suit. So I think this was just them trying to be creative with, we got to give them something to fly because they can do that in the video game.
But Big Bertha could have handed them each like a hit of ecstasy and they could have flown.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. The cops pick up Mario and Luigi. Mario thinks he's going to jail just for being a plumber. So he's like, for being a plumber? What? Meanwhile, Daisy's being thrown into jail too, where she's reunited with Daniela. Mario and Luigi are getting booked by police next. Cop says, name, Mario. Last name, Mario. Yours, Luigi. So Luigi? No, Luigi Mario. Can we talk about their names for a second?
How many Marios are there?
This is almost the exact scene from Spaceballs where he's like, how many assholes are there here? And they all raise up their hand.
Which is exactly like in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I like that. I wonder if they stole that from Super Mario Brothers. Somebody's a fan. So the cop does ask how many Marios are there, and Luigi says there's three. Luigi Mario, Mario Mario. And anyway, so they're sent for Defungi next, which consists of them getting like peppered with something and then dumped with water on their heads. They're tied up next, and these guys are pointing some like rifle-looking things at them. They both think they're about ready to get killed. And then when they pull the trigger, it's just a camera, so it produces this photo of them both like, ah! With their eyes real big, thinking they're about ready to get shot. I think those photos are hilarious. I'm trying to find them on a screenshot so I can put that up as a poster for us.
I love that scene. I thought that was like super creative.
Yeah, they do a lot of things really creative. This is probably like the fifth time I watched this back in the last 10 years. I think the first four times I was like, geez, I can't get into it. I want to like it. I just can't. And then this time I enjoyed like the whole movie. I don't know. Maybe this movie just takes a while to wear on you, at least for me. So anyway, they're locked in these like chicken cages next. The singer from earlier, I don't think I mentioned him, he was singing to them on the street before they get arrested, explains that there are different dimensions. He says, according to history, a big meteorite came and blasted us into two different dimensions. He believes that their former king is out there, but he's been de-evolved. He also mentions the fungus being an issue as well. Mario kind of blows him off here. Any thoughts on this?
Dude, I love the singer. It's such like a Bob Dylan reference with all of his like, you know, oppression songs that he's singing. And the music that he spouts off is actually like, it's like really good.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it is good.
It's really good music, and he's a really cool character. And if I'm not mistaken, his name is Toad.
He is Toad.
Which is a little disappointing because obviously Toad from the video game is a little mushroom man.
This guy's tall rocker.
Right. A little different. He's one of my, outside of Iggy and Spike, he's my third favorite character in the movie.
And his name is Mojo Nixon. So he hasn't really been in a lot of films, but he's done soundtrack for quite a few films.
Deservedly so. I mean, he made it from being Goomba.
Cops call for the Mario Brothers. They enter a room and meet King Koopa, although he's got an alias here as Larry Lazard of Lazard, Condodactyl, and Cohen. Mario wants to know who this Koopa clown is. Says, we need to talk with that clown now. Lazard says, oh, I don't think you want to do that. He's one evil... Gosh, dang it. Lazard says, oh, I don't think you want to do that. He's one evil egg-sucking snake. And he wants to know where the meteor piece is, and they say they don't have it. And he immediately attacks Luigi here, and he's kind of outed by the other cop who calls him Koopa. Luigi says, I thought you said he was an evil egg-sucking snake. Well, I didn't lie, did I? What do you think of this scene here with Larry Lazard, a.k.a. King Koopa?
Dude, it's such a cool scene because, like, they get pulled from the chicken coop. And, you know, they think that they're meeting with their lawyer. They're used to how things are in Brooklyn, not Dino Hatton, where King Koopa gets to just, you know, he gets to just beak on in and shake his tail feather and do whatever he wants and gouge Luigi's eyes. Yeah, I think I'd get along well in their city.
Toad the music guy is turned into a Goomba next. He has a tiny little head. How would you best describe this de-evolving process here?
The cryogenic process of Demolition Man.
Okay.
And I know we have years of disparity here, but like to me, it's like the same setup of what they try to do, like just visually speaking of what you do to a criminal. You freeze them in ice or you shove them up a butthole and turn them into lizards.
Yeah, both of these movies came out in the exact same year. So, I mean, they very well could have used, you know, a lot of the same ideas, could have been the same, you know, special effects crew. Like, hey, this is what we did in Demolition Man, or this is what we did in Super Mario Brothers, and they just ran. So they are pretty similar. Koopa asks for the meteorite piece again, where they will be next to turn in the Goombas. Mario pushes him, and he falls into the chair. Luigi hits the de-evolve button, and they run out. And he only de-evolves for a second here. His head comes back out, and his one eye turns lizard-like. I thought this was a really cool scene here with Koopa almost getting turned here and de-evolving.
Yeah, I agree, because the movie does this over and over and over again. As it sets, it takes the boundaries and it pushes it, and it sets the urgency. Like, because at this point, like even when I'm watching it now as an adult, I'm thinking like, holy shit, they got him. They got him good.
Luigi comments next on the fungus and says it's growing mushrooms. Mario says, great, a building with athlete's foot. I love this line by Mario. A wind-up bomb lowers down with fungus wrapped around it. Mario tells them, we have to go, and they leave the bomb for now. They jump on a hook, and they start gliding down the building here, narrowly getting missed by Goombas trying to grab them. They jump into one of the police cars here, and this is there's a computer set up in the car. Luigi starts it up right away, and Mario says, I can't believe you can do that. Luigi says, that's from sitting around all day on my butt playing video games. Boom. I love the tie-in. What do you think of that?
So, for a 90s movie, it's a perfect tie-in. Like, you couldn't pull that shtick if in the new Super Mario movie that we talked about earlier that they're in the process of developing. Yeah. Like, you can't pull that line. But 1990s? Yeah.
The computer system starts up the car. They start flying down the road here in this adult-sized bumper car-looking thing.
It is a bumper car. It is.
Exactly.
The whole grid system is like a bumper car system, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. Even up to the prongs that are up on the fence, and it's kind of controlling it, even though they do eventually leave that connection and it can drive off on its own. But it's very much like a bumper car. So anyway, their faces pull up on the police scanner here. Again, their faces are hilarious in the photo. Another cop is giving chase. They run head on into another car and they flip right on top of it. Luigi makes the comment of, "I hope the guy downstairs knows where we're going." The two cops pull up alongside of them and they start firing flames at them. Mario, after they get off the other car, slams on the brakes. And the two cop cars blow each other up here. And Mario turns into the Kupari Desert Tunnel. It's full of fungus here. Mario has no brakes to stop. And they end up flying out the tunnel and start falling to what seems like could be their death here. But the fungus is wrapped around the car and it saves them as they stop short of the ground by about 10 feet. Mario tries to take credit, but Luigi says, "It wasn't your driving. It was this giant booger that saved us." What do you think of this scene?
I love the fact that he calls it a booger because that's exactly what it seems like. Like, that's the only thing I'm thinking too. Like, all of this, like, booger and, like, the Swiss cheese and, like, and I can't think of a comparison to the video game.
Isn't Mario Kart, I believe one of the levels in the racing is the Kupari Desert. I'm almost positive it.
I won't lie, I'm a late entry into the Mario Kart games. I didn't get into it until it came out on Wii.
I played it on 64, so I still remember playing that game, and I'm pretty sure there's a level of Kupari Desert. If there isn't, tweet us. If there is, tweet us too. At Back in Time Pod, let us know if we're right on this. I think we are. Spike and Iggy enter Koopa's room. He's up to his chin in mud here. And he sends Lena out to get the princess, and we'll get to that in a second here. What did you think of this Koopa just laying in the mud and of his own little mud bath?
Dude, I love the mud bath, and especially the comparison that he makes about mud being so great because it's dirty and clean at the same time. So sexual.
Lena enters the jail cell where they're holding Daisy. She refers to her as Princess Daisy. This is the first time that we hear that in the movie. And Lena comments that she has her mother's eyes. So Daisy obviously is intrigued by this and follows her out of the cell. And back into the other room, Spike is put into the chair for what we think is de-evolving, but this time they're going to evolve him. So Iggy says, "Goodbye, Spike. I always thought he'd make a great Goomba." And on the computer screen, we see Spike's brain, which is like pea size. And as he starts evolving, it gets bigger and bigger. Izzy's put into the chair. Koopa says, "Perhaps I can just make you idiots smarter. You won't screw up next time." So when they come out, they're both now using big words and they sound really smart. And I just love this transition and this new character for these two guys. What do you think of this?
I was definitely very scared that I thought they were de-evolving.
Yeah.
And then when they come out using big words and their brains grow, like, it made me a little disappointed because it's like, Koopa, like, why aren't you growing an army of intelligent people to support you?
That's a good point.
The first thing he does.
That's an interesting take on that. Koopa also tells them if they don't return with the plumbers next time, he's going to personally kill them. So he gets very serious with them here. Daisy's dressed up now. She's looking into the mirror. She's got a new dress. Her hair's all done. Lena tells her that Koopa thinks you can merge the dimensions. And Daisy's sitting on a chair next when we meet Yoshi for the first time. I have to say, the animatronics on this and the puppeteers for this dinosaur did a really good job. I think Yoshi looks awesome. I know from watching the making of the movie I found on YouTube that he's being puppeteered by, I think, up to 20 different people all at the same time.
Whoa. Yoshi. So that's not a real dinosaur?
No. Oh, yeah, sorry, buddy. Hate to ruin this for you.
Really? So are you going to go ahead and tell me that Benji is not real either?
Eesh. This feels like the Santa Claus episode all over again. My bad, man.
Damn.
Daisy comments on how he's done a wonderful job with his universe that he's created. She's talking to Koopa here. She wants to know where her father is. And Koopa says, he's around. Koopa shows her his lizard tongue. Any thoughts on this scene here?
Why doesn't she have a lizard tongue?
I don't know. She's maybe not part lizard.
No, she is part lizard. She's the mother effing princess.
Yeah, then I have no idea. She probably...
Okay,
she,
all right, fair enough.
Maybe she doesn't know how to access her inner lizard.
Oh, all right, I'll buy that for a dollar.
Izzy and Spike are trying to track down Mario and Luigi here. They're smarter, but they're still kind of dumbasses because they drive straight off a cliff here. And next we see Mario and Luigi kind of interrogating them. Mario wants to know, what's the big deal with the rock? They explain that the rock is a special piece of meteorite. And once it's reinserted into the meteorite, we will become one. And our cousin Koopa will become king of both worlds. Mario wants to know why he didn't just come over and get it before. And they tell him it's been sealed off now until someone blasted it open. Mario says, Scapelli. Luigi negotiates a deal here with Iggy and Spike. If they get him the rock, then they have to hand over Daisy. Or sorry, they explain who has the rock. And the guy says, that's Big Bertha. She's a bouncer. What do you think of this scene?
I love the fact that Iggy and Spike, just now that they're intelligent, are like capable of cutting a deal beyond what Koopa sends them out to do.
Right.
Like, that's, it's really intelligent writing. And like the fact that they tie it back to Scapelli is like a great little gesture to like the storytelling that they're doing. Like, everything serves a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I call this movie a cinematic classic. Like, everything in this movie serves a purpose.
Daisy and Yoshi are locked up in the room. She says, I guess we're both prisoners here. Smash to Mario and the Mario, Luigi, Spike, and Iggy. They're now working together. They enter the downtown area and they're wearing suits here. Mario's is yellow, Luigi's is red. Iggy says they were his ex-wives, and Mario wants to know if he was married to a canary. I have to say, this movie's so much funnier than I realized. Just all these little lines. What, are you married to a canary?
You're damn right this is a funny movie. I've been telling you for weeks.
So they check in at the bar. We see some interesting dancing going on here. I know this was one of the things you were looking forward to discussing. What'd you think of the dancing?
Dude, I love the club scene. I love the dance number. The Goomba dancing that's coming up is, you know, it's on par. But, like, yeah. this little dance scene is so good with this little, like, rattle that they do. It reminds me of Thriller.
Big Bertha's walking around, and I love that she's just pushing people in her way. She just shoves a guy, like, 10 feet. Mario says, there she is. Watch this. No woman can withstand the Mario charm. JD, I'm going to let you take this introduction from Mario here as he introduces himself to Big Bertha.
One of the best quotes in the movie. Hey, the name's Mario. I'm your main man, your Ramadan, your can of spam. Boom. That's how you pick up a chick.
Except he gets punched in the face here.
Just instantly punched in the face. And then his response, will you hit me again?
Yeah. And he starts sweet-talking her, and she just wants to dance with him. So they start slow dancing here. I'm going to insert the music in the background here so our audience can hear it. Mario tries to get the rock by biting the necklace first. And then they do a little bump and grind. And Big Bertha, I mean, she's looking the beak here. Am I right?
Oh, she wants his pudgy little can of tomatoes.
Mario gets the necklace off of her, and he kind of escapes off the back room while she's dancing by herself. Goombas enter the bar. They chase after Mario and Luigi here, who are throwing the necklace to each other back and forth, which seems like a terrible idea because eventually you're going to drop one, which is exactly what happens. So eventually here they drop the necklace, and Lena comes over, and she's going to get it. And now they're just trying to escape here without the Goombas catching them. So they get some help from Big Bertha here, who pulls them into the back room. She tells them to use the stompers. I guess we got a name for those moon boots now. And before they go, she gets a kiss from Mario and calls him Pudgy Buns. What do you think of that?
Pudgy Buns, can of tomatoes. Yeah, you're right when you said she's looking to be. She's looking to be hard. And she knows she needs a mammal to be.
Yeah, I love the part here where Mario goes in for the kiss and you can hear Luigi in the background going, oh, come on. There's no time for this. The cops and Goombas chase the Mario brothers here. They jump out onto a moving truck full of garbage. That's, of course, after they've exploded through the roof of the bar here. Koopa enters and we see a king's chair and a giant fungus hanging from the ceiling. Koopa tells the fungus that he's had a couple plumbers bringing me the rest of the meteorite. This is a pretty cool tie-in to the video game. I definitely think this is a shout-out to Mario Brothers 3, where the king has deformed pretty much on every single level. And until you beat the boss at the end to turn him back, he stays as whatever he's morphed into, a dog, a lizard, a snake, whatever they do. This is also my favorite NES game. What did you think of this, though? First shot at Princess Daisy's dad.
I love the throne room. I love, like, the setup of it. And it, like you said, it's a real good throwback to the video game where you realize that the king has been transformed into what the Marios are trying to save.
Yeah. The only way to get him back to normal is to kill Bowser, who's King Koopa. Mario and Luigi are in what Mario calls a plumber's nightmare. These pipes haven't been serviced in years. Luigi makes the comment that this must have been a non-union job. I love how obsessed Mario is with the tools here, and he even lectures Luigi about not having his tools on him. He just can't help but be like that father figure to him. Mario says they're going to freeze the pipes. They find a footlocker. Mario grabs a couple outfits out. And the next scene here, they're wearing their patented red and green from the video game with the stomper boots on. What'd you think of this scene?
It was about damn time that they get into the classic, and they do it so well. It makes sense. It's so organic. And, like, in this regard, like, you have to compare it to, like, superhero movies.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like, the X-Men movies where they never get into their classic costume. And then you got, like, the MCU movies where they sort of kind of get into their costumes. But Super Mario, you know, like John Leguizamo said in the interview, it's, like, the first of it. Video game movies, which, you know, there's other superhero movies, but let's just say the Super Marios are superhero and they finally get into their costumes. This is exciting.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have bitched about how long it took them to get into the costumes and they just didn't like that part about the movie. May I add that there's a little movie called Batman Begins by a pretty good director named Christopher Nolan that pretty much keeps Batman out of the suit almost the entire movie.
Don't get me started on that movie. We'll save that for another episode.
The elevator doors close. They stop at one point and two Goombas get on. And on another level, more Goombas enter the elevator. Mario and Luigi hide behind them. Iggy and Spike are confronted by Koopa next. He sentences them to devolve. He gets an argument with Lena and she doesn't tell him that she has the meteorite. Back into the elevator, Luigi gets the idea to start rocking the Goombas to the music here side to side so they can kind of move them out of the way easier so they can get out of there. What do you think of the Goombas dancing here?
Dude, I love this dance scene. It's so intelligent of them, and it's almost so wrong. It's like an adult like pulling something over on a child.
Yeah.
Or Goombas.
Well, they are.
Goomba!
Daisy is with Yoshi when Toad enters. Lena interrupts. She shuts the door behind her and sends Toad out. Lena pulls a knife on Daisy here. Yoshi's tongue wraps around her leg and knocks her down long enough for Daisy to escape. Meanwhile, in the elevator, Mario and Luigi have escaped out the top of the elevator, and Daisy is running away in the next scene as well. Toad tells her to run. Well, he tries. And he steps in front of her, and he gets some flames on his back here and catches him on fire. Daisy, instead of just running from the Goomba, realizes he's one of the good guys and grabs a fire extinguisher and puts it out. Iggy and Spike tell her they are their most loyal supporters and explain that they've been by her father's side the whole time. What do you think of this scene here? I thought this was a nice piece of writing here where we kind of realize that Toad can be a little humanized here, and he's not a bad guy.
So, but my question is about Iggy and Spike. So when they say that they've been their most loyal supporters, is that true?
Yeah. I don't know.
Suggests like that they have been loyal supporters, but maybe Koopa had de-evolved them to stupidity to get them to follow him.
That's a good point. That very well could have happened.
And if that's the case, then that's like a much... It's like another layer of onion in the story.
Yeah. They introduce her to her father next, Koopa's first victim of de-evolution. Iggy says, Daisy, may I present you your father, the fungus. And Daisy just stands staring at her father here. Mario and Luigi are running next. They almost fall. I'm going to actually insert a clip here from this scene let's take a listen in on Mario and Luigi almost coming to their demise here.
Oh, I hate heights. How are we going to get across?
I can make it. I got a good feeling.
Jump?
Come on, because somebody's got to do it. We don't got another choice, right? Luigi, this is...
I got to go with you.
I'm flying, Mario. Come on, I told you, all you have to do is trust. Come on. Just do it. Come on, just have faith. Jump.
You're flying.
Come on, Mario. Come on, just trust. Jump. Come on.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Come on. No, wait, Mario. Don't jump. No, it's not. No, it's just a...
I'd high five you, but then you'd be an only child.
Come on, let's go get Daisy.
Let's swing it over there.
Yeah, pull with me.
Okay. All right, what'd you think of this scene here where it seems like Luigi kind of plays a little trick on him and then on top of it doesn't catch him as he's on his way back up off this trampoline booger looking thing?
This goes to the point that I made earlier where I think Luigi is the main character of the movie and Mario is the comic relief.
Yeah, that's a good, interesting take. But yeah, I love how Luigi kind of makes it seem like he's just floating when in fact he got himself caught on a hook. And then he thinks Mario is going to kind of go along with it before he can stop him. He just jumps. So luckily, that could have been the end of Mario here.
Can you imagine? That would be so much better if the movie ended with him, like, dying and then...
Anyway, Daisy is talking to her father next, who obviously can't talk back because he's just a giant fungus. Yoshi enters. Daisy takes off his chains. Daisy finds a fun-looking thing that she points at the screen and kind of looks like a... almost like the gun from Duck Hunt, but it's obviously a little bit more technology savvy here. But it turns into like a security system. So every time she hits the trigger, it goes to a different camera here. And she can actually see Mario and Luigi, and she starts directing them towards her. Because apparently the gun also works as like a PA system. And she can get on the speaker and talk to them. But also at the same time, Koopa's watching her from his office. What'd you think of this?
Dude, I love the reference that you make to Duck Hunt. Because that's exactly what I thought, too. It was like this, like, practicals. It makes no sense that it would be like this gun to, like, shoot the screen to, like, change shit.
Right.
But at the same time, it was a really cool scene to, like, make you think that Daisy has leverage. But at the same time, Koopa is completely in charge.
Yes.
And, like, that in terms of, like, writing and storytelling, like, that raises the stakes and, like, changes the urgency of the moment. It's not that... the heroes don't stand a chance. Things are not in their favor.
Luigi grabs a mushroom and says it's trying to communicate with them. Again, Mario's not buying this whole fungus and mushroom communication thing here. A cop tells Koopa, they says they're ready to play. Koopa says, Lena, she has the rock. Arrest her. Daisy introduces her father to Mario and Luigi. His head lowers out of the fungus here. Luigi says he's been helping us the entire time. He wants to clobber Koopa as well. Daisy says, what about Daniela? Mario says, oh, I forgot I was going to take her to WrestleMania. This has to be the best line of the movie. Because what girl doesn't want to be taken to WrestleMania in the 90s, brother?
Is this a reference to the Super Mario Super Brothers Super Show that had Captain Lou Albano, who was a wrestler?
It very well could have been. I mean, with all the little references they put in there, I don't see why that wouldn't be a reference. But yeah, I thought that was a really cool line. That made me laugh. Mario runs to get Daniela. Luigi and Daisy run into Koopa and the Goombas. Daisy calls him a murderer. He says, hey, your father's still hanging around. Lena goes into a restricted area next. She's grabbed by the cops. One of them grabs the rock from her and says, greetings from Koopa. In the next scene here, Mario has found Daniela. There's a Goomba in there watching the girls, but he's also coloring a picture of a dinosaur. Did you catch that?
I did not. No, I did not notice that.
While the girls are huddled up, he kind of leans over and it's a little dinosaur picture and he's coloring it green. That made me, I was just like, wow, that's so random.
Is that like a true to story Yoshi reference?
Could be. Mario is trying to get the girl's attention. One of the girls finally shows Daniela and she yells, Mario! And then the Goomba kind of shoots up from his coloring book. And Mario comes to the rescue here. He grabs a hook and he comes in and kicks Goomba down. Let's listen to another clip here. And this is Mario rescuing the girls and talking about the frozen pipes.
Oh, Mario, I knew you'd come for me.
Yes, you did it. Honey, listen. Get that mattress, the Goomba mattress. Oh, lay it over there.
The Goomba mattress. Come on, pick it up. Get that back.
What do you think of this scene here with the rescuing of the grills?
I feel like if you ever wrote a porno film, this would be the setup, and then the execution would be what follows is you on a mattress with a bevy of beauties ice skating down a tunnel of, well, ice.
The cops enter and gives Koopa the rock. He calls for the Goombas to bring the de-evolution guns, and where's my pizza? I love that they keep talking about pizza. He orders the Goomba, or he orders the Koopa special earlier, and now he's just waiting for them to bring it to him.
And what is taking them so long? He's not going to tiff.
No kidding.
This is mother effing Koopa. Bring him his pizza.
Mario and the girls are floating down an icy pipe next on the mattress. I have to say that this looks really fun, first off. Mario pulls a wrench out and he stuffs it into the pipe, knocking the Goombas off their mattress and onto their face. Mario and the girls fly out of the pipe and float down to the city here, just narrowly missing Koopa and Luigi Daisy. Koopa gets radioed in. Sir, your pizza's here. Not now, he says. He's distracted and Mario shoots his flying boot into Koopa, who flies backwards. Luigi tosses Mario his belt and tells him to trust the fungus. Mario swings from the fungus to the hanging metal basket where Koopa's in. He kicks Koopa from behind, who drops the rock. Lena catches it and falls onto an electric fence here, electrocuting herself. She sits up and her hair is standing straight up now. Kind of looks like Marv after he goes through hell in Home Alone. What'd you think of this scene?
I feel so bad for my girl. I don't want her to get hurt.
Lena runs down to the tunnel. Mario and Koopa go back and forth. Lena's trying to merge the two universes. Daisy warns her to stop. Mario has grabbed the bomb hanging from the fungus. He sets it on the ground and it starts moving towards Koopa. But eventually it falls underneath the street here and the bomb trickles along through the fungus. Luigi escorts the girls to the rock wall that they originally came into and he tells them to tell everyone in Brooklyn about the Goombas. Lena electrocutes herself to death this time, and she's turned into nothing but bones, so there goes your girlfriend. Sorry, bud. She tells Luigi, that's what Koopa meant. Only I can withstand the Force. A lot of Star Wars references here. Mario and Koopa start disintegrating in the next scene. Koopa laughs, we're merging! And they show up at the digging site here, surrounded by a bunch of people in the Scapelli. Koopa and Mario appear. He tries to shoot Mario with the de-evolution gun, but instead he shoots Scapelli, who turns into a monkey, and then Mario sees him and goes, Scapelli? What did you think of this scene here?
Dude, I love that Scapelli gets what, like, you want him to, like, turn into the ape that he is, and then boom. That's how he gets it. And then he gets it right to the kisser.
Now Koopa with maybe the best line of the movie, now I'm going to make a monkey out of you. Mario says, trust the fungus, and he redirects his little mushroom right back at Koopa, and they disintegrate again. And this time, they're back in Dino Haddon, where they just were. So the bomb has made its way back onto the street. It's almost run over by a car, but the car stops, nearly missing it. Daisy and Luigi run into Toad. She tells him it's okay, he's a friend. Toad starts playing the harmonica, which causes the other Goombas to do a dance instead of listening to Koopa's orders. Luigi flies through the air next in his boots. Mario and Luigi fire the de-evolved gun at Koopa, who starts turning into a dinosaur. Underneath him, the bomb has positioned itself, and it blows, sending Koopa flying through the air. Hundreds of feet up, he lands back in that metal basket. Mario yells, "See you later, alligator!" And first, they see him, and he kind of morphs into like this green sludge, and then it falls onto the ground and splatters all over the place here. My wife was watching the ending of the movie and just said, "That was stupid." What do you think of this scene?
Well, I think that your wife needs to rewatch this scene. Come on.
I'm not crazy about him just turning in the sludge and falling on the ground either, but maybe they just didn't have anything better. I mean, what did you think of the actual death of Koopa here?
No, like, I get the metaphor that they're trying to make about him de-evolving to ooze.
Yeah.
And, you know, to say that, like, all of humanity and to say all of reptile kind in their universe evolves from the primordial ooze as, you know, to come to single-cell organisms, to come to, you know, needless chimps, to scum, whatever it is. Like, he's de-evolved to the simplest form of evolution.
Yeah.
So I get it, but at the same time, I'm with you guys. It could have been a more powerful...
Mario and Luigi...
Why doesn't Mario just jump on his head?
That's a good point. Mario and Luigi hug. Luigi says, "Need a lift? Get on my feet." And they fly up to where Daisy is. People are already painting over the Koopa murals in the city and in the streets. The King Fungus falls into the chair and he coughs up some fungus and says, "I'm back. I love those plumbers." Daisy goes with Mario and Luigi to the rock wall. Mario says, "Feel it. It's solid." Daisy points her rock at the wall and it opens up the portal. She tells Luigi she can't go. Mario tells Luigi, "If you love her, you'll understand." They kiss. Luigi and Daisy, not Mario. Luigi and Mario jump back through the wall. Poor Luigi jumps in, he turns back, and Daisy and Yoshi are there saying their goodbyes. We're back at the apartment. Actually, I'll stop there for a second. So, what did you think of this leaving Dino Hatton here with Mario and Luigi?
It's a somber goodbye because Luigi, as the main character of this movie, has to say goodbye. You know, like... From the moment he and Daisy locked eyes, they were meant to be.
Very sweet.
They had an unspoken bond. They understood one another. They don't know their parents. She likes to point her little rock at a wall. He likes to point his little mushroom at bushes, you know.
So back at the apartment, Daniela is helping Mario make some dinner. Luigi's watching TV when the television broadcaster gives them a shout-out on air. He calls them the Super Mario Brothers. A knock at the door. Mario yells, "Come on in." Daisy comes in and yells, "Luigi, Mario." Luigi comes running. She says, "You have to come with me. I need your help. What's wrong? You won't believe this." And Mario says, "I believe it." "You do? I believe." And that's the end of the movie. What'd you think of the ending here?
I like the fact that it mirrors the part from earlier in the movie when Luigi's watching his little, like, his little schlock TV show, and he's like, "Well, I believe," and Mario's like, "No, how could you believe in other dimensions?" And then as soon as she comes back, Mario's the first one to say, "I believe." That was more Macho Man than Bob Hoskins, but...
"You know something, brother." Yeah, no, I hear you. What? So, let me... play devil's advocate here for a second. There's never been a sequel. Where do you think they go in chapter 2 if that movie ever did come to fruition, like in, let's say, 95, 96?
Dude, the Koopa Kids.
Koopa Kids, okay. But who's
they have to go back to Dino Hatton, and Koopa's, you know, bevy of kids have taken over, and they've divided the city into like 8 different areas. And they have to, like, you know, keeping in the theme, like, maybe it's like in Dread, where each Koopa Kid gets, like, a block, a skyrise building, and the Marios have to go into it, infiltrate it, make their way to the top, and then bonk a Koopa Kid.
Now, I think that's a really good chapter, too. I wish we would have seen that. Plus, I mean, could you imagine how much further they would have been with the technology and the CGI a couple years later?
Dude, Dread meets Dread meets Mario. Come on.
I still want to go. I think we should make the script, dude. Mario and Luigi, Saw 9. Let's do it. That would be so cool.
You know, I'm in.
All right. So thank you guys for listening to episode 23 of the Back in Time podcast. Been an awesome time reviewing Super Mario Brothers. You know, I have to admit, I think JD turned me on this one. I went into it with a different attitude, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I liked almost everything about the movie this time around, so that was fun. Follow us on social media. We are at Back in Time Pod on Twitter, Instagram, at Facebook. We're at facebook.com/backintimepod. Give us a like on there. Follow us. In the next episode, we're going to be diving in the dirty work. We're going to have a special guest as well. JD's little bro's coming back to the podcast. We're going to be welcoming back Jesse for his second episode. He had joined us originally on the Saw review that we did, and I'm excited to have him back on. And then the movie after that is going to be the one that you guys voted on the poll topics. So we haven't finished up that yet, so we don't know exactly what that'll be. So stay tuned for the teaser trailer breakdown of Dirty Work, and we will be revealing which movie we're going to be reviewing at the end of the month. JD, any last words or any shut your big yappers before we go?
No, just a big thank you to our fans for voting yes on their Twitter poll to review this movie. It's been a while since I've seen it, so I very much enjoyed revisiting it. I'm glad that we were able to turn Kyle into a fan. And for anyone else that is listening and hasn't seen it, watch the movie and watch it with open eyes, open arms, and open penis. You'll enjoy it.
So we're going to hop back into the DeLorean, return back to present day. We want to thank you guys for listening to episode 23. We'll be back on Monday with the teaser trailer breakdown for Dirty Work. But for now, we're going to sign off. We'll talk to you guys later.
Ham sandwiches are delicious.